All right, tonight let's turn to 2 Timothy 4, and we'll have one more message out of 2 Timothy, and we'll finish that up. On Sunday evening, we're doing questions, so you be sure to put your questions. I got about 10 questions now. That thing's starting to go up a notch, so that's what we want. So you put your questions in, and then we will be dealing with them on Sunday evenings. Now, what I'm going to do once Wednesday night's 2 Timothy's done, I don't know what we'll do yet, but we will be thinking and praying about that, okay? Now, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and what we're going to do is we're just going to look at verses 9 and 10, and then I'm going to try to reach out and get all the rest of that next week, because I want to focus on verses 9 and 10 this evening. And let me go ahead and read our text. For tonight. It says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas, hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens, to Galatia, Titus, and to Dalmatia." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have this privilege of preaching your word. Knowing, great King, you could use someone more able, but I pray tonight that you would grant me your unction so that I'd bring a message that would touch people's hearts and bless this congregation. Continue to save souls in our midst and add to this church as pleases you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And we're just going to title this verse 10. Demas hath forsaken me. Demas hath forsaken me. A lot of people use different names. Sometimes parents will name their children after people in the Bible, but you'll hardly ever, I'm sure probably somewhere in the world there's somebody named Demas, but that's something Christian people would name their child Demas. And you can almost sense the hurt when you read it, I think. When I read the text, you can almost sense the hurt that Paul had in his heart with regard to this man. You'll remember 2 Timothy would be the last book that he wrote. It was in the latter stages of his ministry. He's in Rome. He's eventually going to be beheaded. And here this man by the name of Demas forsakes Paul, turns his back on him at a time when he really needed. I don't know if you ever had that happen to you where someone that maybe that loved you or you thought loved you, but in a time of need, they turned away. And that's what happened here. Many times we'd equate Demas with Judas, and we will do that probably tonight too, just a little bit. He turned his back on Paul. Now, he's mentioned three times in scriptures, and I want to show you the different times. And I give you this in Colossians, but you probably don't remember it. Book of Colossians and chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, he mentions Demas. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14. Remember, Colossians is a prison epistle, which means what? When he wrote it from prison. He was in a Roman prison when he wrote the book of Colossians. So this is one of the prison epistles. And notice who is in Rome with Paul at this time. Notice what it says. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet thee. So here Demas is mentioned here. And he sends his greetings to the saints at Colossae. That sounds good, doesn't it? So here you have Demas mentioned. He seems to be serving the Lord right here. And he sends his greeting to the church of Colossae. I thought that was pretty nice. Now let's go to the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon. And let's go ahead and notice some other things here about this. Book of Philemon. I was just going to quote these. Book of Philemon. Now, in the book of Philemon, verse 24, here's what it says. Here's what it says about Demas. It says you're in Philemon 24. It says he's a fellow what? Fellow laborer. He's a fellow what again? He's a fellow laborer. So here he's mentioned as sending his greetings. Demas greets you in Colossians 4:14, and in Philemon 24, he's called a fellow laborer. So that means, what's a fellow laborer? It means he's working together with the Apostle Paul. He was part of his ministry, entourage, if you want to call it such a thing as that. He was a part of that. He was with him. So I thought that's a pretty good thing right there. So if all we have was Colossians and Philemon, Demas would be a pretty good fellow, wouldn't he? But when we come to 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is where we begin to have and see that something bad, something bad has happened, as we've already read. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I want you to notice 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice what it says, verses 9 and 10. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Demas hath done what now? Now he's turned his back. So you see, as a fellow laborer, he was greeting people, but now what is he? He turned his back. He turned his back on Paul, and I believe he turned his back on the Lord too. I think both of those happen at the same time. And sometimes people do that. And you can almost sense the hurt in the writing, I think. Demas hath forsaken me. I mean, this is someone that he counted on, and then he turns his back on him and leaves him there. And during this time frame when this happened, it would have hurt even worse because he was where at? He was in a Roman prison, probably in the dark, where it stunk, and he didn't have a lot of people with him. But Demas hath forsaken him. Such people as this breaks preachers' hearts. Such people as this breaks preachers' hearts, and I'm sure it did Paul. And you can only sense it in the way that he wrote, I think. Seems very personal to Paul, doesn't it? He said, he hath forsaken me. Now, he forsook the Lord. That's be the greatest thing. But he said, he forsook me. See, it's personal. He probably put a lot of work in this young man. He probably taught him a lot of things. He took him a lot of places. He sent him places. He went on missionary trips, I think. But he said, he had forsaken me. He turned his back on him. And that hurts a preacher. That hurts a preacher. It does. Sometimes, and I've had it in 38 years, I've had it happen to me. I put a lot of work in people before, and a lot of work, and spent a lot showing them and teaching them things of the Word, you know, and showing them how to teach the Scriptures and different things, and the next thing you know, they're gone. Yeah. And they walk away many times, and about anyone that ever did never did tell me. They just leave. You just notice they're gone. I thought, where'd they go? And then they just left. And how do you take it? Just like he did. You feel like you've been forsaken. You put all that work and effort into somebody and only to see them do what? Walk away and leave. So that happened to Paul. Who else did it happen to? Happened to Jesus, didn't it? He was forsook by a lot. Even his own disciples forsook him and ran. But Jesus had a Judas. He had Demas. Paul had Demas, but Jesus had Judas. And did Jesus know what Judas was? Beloved, I'm going to tell you something about this, and I'm not going to go into much detail about it because I've preached on it before. Judas was a lost man. He never was saved. I'm going to tell you that right now. He was a lost man that never was saved, and I'm going to give you why I say that. John chapter 13, you don't have to turn there. And the verse 10, you write these down. Here's what he's talking to his disciples, and he said, ye are clean. Talking to his disciples, but not all. What's it mean to be clean? It means to be saved. You know, when the Lord washes your sins away. He said, ye are clean, but not all. And then the text goes on to say, this said he of Judas Iscariot. It's talking about Judas. That's what Judas did. He was a forsaker. He was a Demas, if you want to call him that. In John chapter 12, here's another thing. It's in the verse 6. Here's another thing that says about Judas. And this is when that woman poured that alabaster box full of that precious ointment on Jesus that was so much money. You know who called that a waste, don't you? Judas. That's a waste. Oh, they could have took that. They could have took that and sold that ointment for a lot of money and give it to the who? Give it to the poor. Here's what John 12:6 says. This said he not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and kept the bag. Did Jesus know that he was stealing out of the coffers? He did the whole time. Did he know what he was the whole time? The whole time. The whole time. Jesus knew. And you know what? Jesus never treated him any different. You're talking about loving your enemy? Now, if I didn't know Judas was what he was and it had been Jeff Arthur, why? When I washed his feet, I'd have boiled them. I'd have made him walk 10 miles behind me, wouldn't you? I'd have tripped him when I could, wouldn't have fed him. I'd have treated him different. Jesus didn't give no indicator whatsoever who the betrayer was. He treated him just like Simon Peter and John and the rest of them. That's the kind of Savior we serve. He was kind to him, good to him, and knew what he was the whole, and listen, knew what he was the whole time. Ain't the Lord so much different than we are in a lot of ways? I'd have been very vindictive. Would you have been very vindictive? Would you have been able to treat him kindly? When I fed the 5,000, he wouldn't have been one of them. But Jesus did. That's the kind of, our Master was the kindest, loveliest, lovingest man that ever walked this planet. He really was. John chapter 6, verse 7 says this, I've chosen you 12, and one of you is a demon. That's what he says. He was under the influence of the devil. So those are three texts that shows you that Judas was what? Lost. Lost the whole time. Lost the whole time, and he was the betrayer. He was the one that sold him out. He was the one that sold him out. Never was born again. Prophesied about him even in the Old Testament scriptures. What did he do? Okay, so Demas hath forsaken me. Now, what's the reason? Let's look back at our text here just a little bit. Let's look at the reason why he forsook. What was the reason? Back to 2 Timothy 4. And why? What is the reason in verse 10 why he forsook? I want everybody to notice it. Huh? He loved, having loved this present what? The world got the best of him. The world got the best of him. I don't know what all it was. Money, maybe. Just going out and living worldly. Living for the things of the world. But it says that he loved this present world. He chose to live for the temporary. Listen to this. He chose to live for the temporary, and he forgot the eternal. That's the biggest mistake anybody walking this world can make. To live for the temporary and forget the eternal. Here this man walked with one of the greatest teachers that ever walked this planet. And he turned his back on the Lord and turned his back on the Apostle Paul. What a terrible, terrible decision he made. Do you see any other people do that? A lot of people do. I see a lot of it since I've preached so long. You see people that will come to church and they'll make a profession of faith and they'll get baptized and they'll continue for a bit and then next thing you know, they're gone. And you'll see them out. You'll see them out on the ball field somewhere. Or you'll see them over here somewhere. You'll talk to them a bit, and I'll get on them sometimes real good, and they'll come back one service, and then you'll see them again 6 months later. Where are they at? Well, they're forsaking the things of the Lord and living for the things of the world now. They might not, well, they're not drinking or they're not doing all these other things. Drinking ain't the only sin there is. If you're forsaking God's house, is that a sin? That's a sin, isn't it? You know, when you're right with the Lord, you want to be in His house. I just believe that. If you're right with Jesus, you want to be in His house. You can't wait to get here to hear His word. You want to hear His word and you want to be around these people. But what did Demas do? He forsook. He hath forsaken me, and the reason why he forsook is because he loved this present world, and a lot of people are that way. You'll find all kinds of people that makes profession of faith that continue just for a little bit, and then they just go right back the way that was before, or they get what I like to call preoccupied with the world. They don't got no what. They don't got no what. Time? Isn't that what everybody says? I just don't have the what again? You prioritize your time around what you think's most important. You got just as much time as I got. Everybody has just as much time as anybody else has. You choose how you use your time. You choose how you use it. And you must make God the priority of your time. He has to be the priority of you. You choose what you do with your time. Everybody in the house agree? You choose how you use it. Now, sometimes we're compelled to do, or spend time in things that we have to spend time in that might not necessarily be what we'd like to be doing. But you choose how to use your time. You need to use your time wisely. Let's turn to Luke chapter 8. The parable of the sower, I've preached on many times over the years, so I'm not going to do the whole book or the whole chapter on the parable of the sower. Look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I think the parable of the sower was given to encourage preachers and Christian workers. And what it does, the parable of the sower shows you different kinds of ground. Shows you different kinds of ground, which represents different kinds of people and their response to the things of the Lord. And notice what, let me go ahead and read. He's explaining, he gives the parable in verses 5 through 8, and he's describing different types of ground, stony ground, thorns, thorny ground, and all in verses 5 through verse 10. But let's go on down and get where he's explaining what the text means here. Luke chapter 8, and we're going to look, let's begin at verse 11. This is the parable. This is the explanation of the parable. The seed is the word of God. So you have a picture of the seed being sown, which is a picture of what? Everybody know it? Picture of the gospel as we go out and sow it. So what the parable of the sower is doing is it's showing you the different responses men will have to that. And one reason why that's there, Rick, is to keep you from getting discouraged. Because out of three people that make, according to this, out of three people that make professions, only one will continue on to serve the Lord. One out of what? One out of three. One out of three. Let's look at it real fast. Boy, I don't want to get bogged down here, but notice those by the wayside are they that hear. And the wayside was, you have a picture of a farmer sowing his seed in the field. Some of that seed doesn't go into the cultivated ground, it goes outside. And notice what happens. They that are on the, those by the wayside are they that hear, then comes who? Here somebody hears the word, then comes who again? What's the devil do here? Then comes the devil, and he takes away the word out of their heart. That's your mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, that's your mind. Here's someone that's heard the word, and they got it stewing in their mind. Now, I want you to notice what happens. Then comes the devil, and he takes away the word out of their heart. He plucks it, lest they should believe and be saved. I've seen that happen a lot. I'll be in here and there'll be people come to church and you'll be preaching the gospel and you can look back there and there, you can see it in their face. They're giving them a good listen and they're interested and they'll come back, Larry, to another service and they seem interested and all of a sudden, they're gone. You see them out at Walmart or something and you go, well, how are you been? Well, I just ain't been, you know. You know what happened? The devil plucked that seed. That's what he does. He plucks it. That's what you see here. That's what they do. Then comes the devil, and he takes away the word out of their heart. Takes it out of their mind. Gets them preoccupied with something else. Where they don't have time for the Lord, you know. He plucks the seed. Did you realize he can pluck the seed out of somebody's mind? That's what he tries to do. And many times he does. With lost people. People hearing it. Plucks it right out. Gets your mind on something else. Get your mind on something else. I've seen it. And I thought, man, this person's getting ready to get saved. And you don't see him for 2 years. He plucks it. They that are on the rock, verse 13, are they which when they hear, they receive the word. It says they receive the word with what? A lot of joy, a lot of enthusiasm. Everybody got it? They receive it with a lot of joy and enthusiasm. But they don't have no what? Not rooted right. Not rooted in the right gospel. Have no root. But for a while they believe, but in time of temptation, they do? They fall away. You ever seen that? They start good, but again, they don't finish. They last just a little bit. I've seen that a whole lot of times. Get all excited and you get all these people in and get all these people making professions, and fast as they come, guess what they do? They go. What happened? Don't have no what? Don't have no root. Not rooted right. Got to have a root going down into the ground that makes you strong. These don't have no root. And when the sun comes out, what do? Wither away. Sometimes you might have, I know sometimes my carport, weeds will get down in a little crack and they'll come up. Baby, when it gets real hot, what happens to that? It withers. That's what this is a picture of. They start good and then they wither. What's wrong with them? They're not rooted right. Not rooted in the right gospel. What they heard didn't go to the heart either. Beloved, some people make a profession from the lips that's not from the heart. I like to say they miss heaven by 6 inches. Yeah. They don't have it in their heart. It's just a head knowledge. Didn't change them. They just last for a bit. And then they burn up. And then they're done. And you see them out. What I do, I've always blamed myself. That's why this is here, because that's what preachers will do. Well, what did I do wrong? How did I run that one off? How did I get rid of this one? What did I do here? What happened? Satan plucks a seed, or it burns up. Oh, verse 14 is Demas. That's why I brought you here. Verse 14 describes Demas. Are y'all ready? They which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth. They hear and they go forth. So they make a profession. But then what happens? They get what? Choked. Or choke out. I had a rose bush in the backyard. And then I watched a weed grow up, or some type of weed, and it got on that bush and it choked it completely out. It killed it. I just left it on there to watch the illustration of this right here. It's one reason why I did it. It killed it. It just got on it and choked it out from all of its nutrients. I mean, it got right on it and wrapped it around it, and I let it go because I didn't want to fool with it, really. But that's what it did. And they get choked with what? Look what they get choked out with. Cares. We just preached on cares, didn't we? Sometimes people stay home for church because they got cares, but that's when you really need to go to church, when you got cares. You know, you got to go to church when you don't feel like it. If you don't go when you don't feel like it, you won't go half the time. I've come to church before when I didn't feel like it and got really blessed. You make yourself go. Anything important to do, you got to make yourself do. Do you agree? You got to make it. I don't like going to the doctor, but my wife makes me go. Got to go. Got to make yourself do. You get choked with cares. And what else? Riches and what else? Pleasures. Is that what got Demas? Sure did. That's what got him. Right here, as you see, Jesus taught the parable of the sower. And the reason why he gave that is to help his sowers. Because it gets discouraging when you lose people. It gets discouraging when you put a lot of effort in somebody for them to walk away. And it gets awful discouraging when one of them's out at Walmart and they see you and they go the other way. They don't want to fool with you no more. All God's people say it. It happens. So Jesus told us it was going to be like that. Jesus told us it was going to be like that. And that's exactly the way Demas was. He forsook because he loved this present world. All right, I'm going to ask you a question. Don't answer me. I want you to think about it. Was Demas a possessor or merely a professor? Think about what I just said. Was Demas a possessor, meaning was Demas saved? Did he have eternal life? Or was he merely a professor? Did he just profess it? Or did he really have it? John chapter 8, verse 31. I'm going to give you some stuff with that. John chapter 8, verse 31. Verse 31 says this. Then said Jesus to those Jews that believed on him. What's it say the rest of it? If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. If you do what? You continue. You continue. If someone's truly been born again, when you've had a new birth, that's spiritual life. We also call that quickening. When he saved you, he quickened you. He made you alive. That's spiritual life. And how long is that life? It's eternal. You see, this is what my problem is with a lot of folks. Eternal life, we think of eternal life as something you're going to get way out there in the future if you make it. Eternal life is what salvation is. I have eternal life. I have it now. I'm not waiting to get it. Listen, beloved, the gift of God is everlasting life. And the moment you trust Jesus as your Savior, that's what He gives you. All God's people say it. Stand with me on that. That what I got the day I was born again was everlasting life. I got it right now. And when I go, I don't know if the Lord's going to come in my lifetime or not. But if I die, I got everlasting life. Where am I going to go? I'm not going to get everlasting life after I get to heaven. I already got it now. What is salvation but everlasting life? Isn't that wonderful? I got everlasting life. That's why it's called the gift of God is everlasting life. All right. Demas was a professor and not a possessor. I believe in what I like to call the perseverance of the saints. I believe they persevere. Larry Eccles said this one time, I like it. I believe you persevere if you're saved. And he's right. If you're saved, you'll persevere. If you're truly saved, you'll persevere. But there's a lot of professors that are not possessors. They've made a profession, but they're like Demas. Don't have a real heart change at all. And they go back to the world and live in the way they did before. Let's turn to John 10. I'm going to have to pick up the pace here a little bit. John chapter 10. I'm going to quote this other verse. 1 Peter 1:5 says that we are kept by the power of God. 1 Peter 1:5 says we are kept by the power of who?
God.
Kept by the power of who again?
God.
Yeah, we're kept by God's power. Now here's what I want you to get. Your keeper is God. He keeps you saved. The life you got to Stewie the day you were saved was eternal life. And I want to tell you something about your God. He keeps you. He don't throw you back. Now he'll tan your hide if you got it coming. But he will keep you. What is Jesus called? The Lord is my what? Lord is my what again?
Shepherd.
He wouldn't be much of a shepherd if he lost one of his sheep, would he? I'm asking. He's called the good what? He wouldn't be a very good shepherd if he lost his sheep. He keeps his sheep. Everybody in the house believe that he keeps his sheep? He keeps you. Aren't you glad you kept? He keeps you. John 10, I love John 10:28. Oh my, this is awesome. Verse 27 says, my sheep, what do? They hear my voice. They have a desire to hear the Lord's word is one thing that means. My sheep hear my voice. I know. What do sheep do? Now, let me say something right here. I have a problem with someone that claims to be a sheep that has no desire to follow the shepherd. Are y'all with me? I have a big problem with that. Now, I realize people can drift, and people do drift anywhere you're at. But when someone makes a profession when they're 12 and for 40 years, they've never had no desire to follow the shepherd, I just would think they're not a sheep. People say, oh, you're judging. And I said, no, I'm a fruit inspector. They don't have no fruit. There's nothing there to indicate that they're born again. There should be indicators when someone's been born again. That's what 1 John shows you. Should be a change in people's life. Did I read John 10:28? I think I'm going to read it now. Notice what it says. I give unto them what? Eternal life. They shall never what? Neither shall any pluck them out of. Now the reason why he can promise. Now here. The reason why he can promise you that you'll never perish is because he is your keeper. If I was your keeper, he couldn't promise you that. He's your keeper. Oh, and by the way, that's called eternal security. That's exactly what that's called. That's one reason. I don't know how you can't believe it without just that one verse kills it. Brings it out. Kills anything else. My sheep hear my voice. When do they hear it? Heard it the day they believed. The Lord opened their heart. He says, I know them. They follow me. And I give them eternal life. They shall never what? Now that is an absolute statement. They shall never perish. Because nobody can take them out of his hand. Oh, God's people said, that should bless you. That should bless you. And it does. I'm going to have to move now. So Demas, in my opinion, was a professor, not a possessor. Let me put it that way. He didn't truly know the Lord because the Lord keeps him. Well, let's go ahead and go to the fourth point. Did Simon Peter fall into sin? Simon Peter, did he fall into sin? I'm asking. Yeah, big time. He did. Now, I want to show you the difference between Simon Peter here and Demas. Demas forsook, having loved this present world. I think Simon Peter got a little bit too prideful, maybe. And he said, if all these deny you, remember the statement he made? If all these deny you, talking about his disciples, other disciples. He said, I never will. What did Jesus tell him? Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. Did Peter deny him three times? In front of a young girl he did. Yeah. It wasn't a big deal. It was a young girl, and he denied. Oh, no, I don't know the man. Three times Simon Peter did it. Three times who did it? Three times Simon Peter did it. The third time he denied. This is when Jesus was on, listen to me. This is when Jesus was on trial. And the third time he denied, Jesus did this. He turned and looked at him. I broke his heart. It broke Simon Peter's heart. And the Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. It broke him. It did. And you know why it broke him? I'm looking for something here. I'm fishing. You know why it broke him? Because he was saved. He knew him. When you know him and you sin, it kills you. It bothered him. And he went out and wept bitterly. Remember Jesus, he denied Jesus three times, and then he had acknowledging three times too. Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Remember? Three times he had. How many times? Three times. He said, feed my sheep. Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Feed my lambs. I mean, three times he denied, three times he had acknowledged his love for him. Hey, let me ask you another question. Did Simon Peter get back up? I think he'd have quit, though, if it wasn't for Jesus. Jesus recommissioned him with those questions. Yeah. You love me more than these? You love me more than these? Love me more than these? Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. That's what a shepherd does. Hey, what happened in Acts chapter 2? Y'all remember in Acts chapter 2 what happened? Feast of Pentecost. Feast of Pentecost. Read about it. That same man that denied stood up before multitudes of Jews at the Passover, at the Feast of Pentecost when all the Jews were there in Jerusalem and preached a message and 3,000 people were saved. He preaches another message and then 5,000 are saved. Who did that? The Lord did that through Simon Peter. He got back up. You know when you're down and you're falling, you know what you got to get back up? You got to get back up when you're born again. You can't lay around with it. Get up. Repent of it, move on. Simon Peter did. Lord used him in a tremendous way. He never throwed him away. Hey, he won't throw away one of his children, beloved. He won't do it. He'll whoop them. If you ever had the Lord whip you, raise your right hand. If you ever had the Lord whip you, you know why he does that, don't you? That's how he keeps you. But if you don't have no chastisement, there is no evidence of any chastening in a person's life that claims to be saved. The Bible says they're a bastard and not a son. Because I'm telling you, the Lord will whip those that knows him. So you can sense there's a lot of Demases. There's a lot of is there Demases today? Yeah. Everywhere you go, you'll find a Demas. And they'll forsake. They'll show a lot of promise, and then they'll go back, and they'll be done with the things of the Lord, and they'll go after the what? The present what? Present world. The world gets them. And what it is, they might not be doing something, but they're out drinking, smoking dope, and no. They're just out busy doing other things. Things in and of themselves that might not be wrong. But because they put everything ahead of the Lord, and they don't got no time for the Lord, that's what happens to them. They get, just like Demas, they love this present world. All God's people said, thank you for your attention. Demas hath forsaken me was the name of this message. Lord willing to be on sermon audio tonight. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention. Appreciate you coming out this evening.